Monday, 17th of May, Talat 7, Rabbi Yeshua Posen, Megillas Rus.
Good morning. I understand you've had a number of shiurim discussing upcoming Kabbalah Satira and Megillas Rus. I'd like to discuss this morning a point, a very important nekuda, which I think hasn't yet been dealt with, to try and give us a better understanding as to why it is on Shuras and in Kabbalah Satira we read Megillas Rus. We've heard different reasons, whether it's because David HaMelech, whose lineage is so clearly dictated in Megillas Rus, was born and was nifta on Shuras, or whether it's because it was his mom Kitzachitim at Shuras, but that doesn't really give us enough of a havona as to what Chazal wanted when they were kiveya that we should read Megillas Rus on Shuras. Is there a particular message which we're meant to be getting out of this Megillah? And if there is, how does that message connect with Kabbalah Satira? So first of all, in order to understand what is Megillas Rus, there's a Medrash. The Medrash in Rus Rabbah, Perek Beis Yedalet, says as follows: Omer Amzira, Megillah Zu Ein Bo Leitzuma V'Leitara V'Leister V'Leheta. There's no Lomdus in Megillas Rus, there's no Halachas, particularly Rabbi Tzuma V'Tara Hagan that we learn Hilchos Chalitza and other things, never, but Etzim, as far as it's not a Megillah which is coming to teach us, so to speak, halachas. V'loma nichtava, why is it actually written? Says the Medrash, V'lamedcha kama satov l'goynei chasodim. To tell us how great is the reward for those people who are goynei chesed to do chesed to other people. Goynei chasodim, Chazal amadayit, goynei is a loshen rabim. It doesn't say l'goymei chesed, it's l'goymei chasodim. Who are the Gemlei Chassadim who the Medrash is referring to? So, Mepharshim explained, the Gemlei Chassadim are Rus and Bayaz. And Kamas Chatzay, how great is the reward? What was the reward? The birth of their great-grandchild, David HaMelech. I'd like to spend the short time that we have today exploring is, first of all, what exactly was Klar, what was the actual Gemlei Chassadim that was so special that Rus and the Bayaz did? And second of all, is there a connection? We know that Avodah Shvarach Hu works Midah Keneged Midah when he gives Tzar and Chas V'Shalom Einosh. He works with Midah Keneged Midah. So what is the correlation between this Chesed, which Rus and Boaz did, and the birth of David HaMelech, the future king of Klal Yisrael? Is there a connection? So, first of all, a little bit of background to chaz over what we all know. Rus and Orpah were princesses of Eglon, the king of Moav. They were princesses from the royal family of Moav. And they now came, they married into, so to speak, at the time, Jewish royalty, because they married the sons of the Shaphat. But the sons of the Shaphat were already in exile. And at this stage, by the time their husbands had been Nifta, and Boaz and Elimelech was already Nifta, they were faced with an option. They could either stay with Normi, which would mean being Megaya and moving back to Eretz Yisrael, or they could go back to the palace and pick up where they'd left off, if that was possible, back in the royal family. So the question which they had was a very simple question, which doesn't seem to be such a difficult question. Do they go back to royalty, or do they stay with this poor almona who is Normi, and with no particular options of their life improving in the future? And that's because the Medrash explains that at that time it had never been Paskin, the halacha of Moaviv lo Moavis, and therefore at that time there was no hope of them being able to marry into Klal Yisrael. So basically they're going to be Megaya and stay single for the rest of their lives. So that was the option which faced them. The Medrash says, Shema Achas Orpah, Shehofcha Oiref Lechamoisa. Why was Orpah given her name Orpah? Because she turned her neck to her mother Normi. She saw into the words of her mother-in-law. So in the word, we often find in Chazal that a name of someone is more than just what you call them. It sums up who they are, their character, their attributes. And the Medrash says quite clearly that's the case with Orpah and Rus. Orpah is someone who turns her back on Normi, and Rus is someone who listened to what Normi was saying, looked into Normi, what the potential she could gain from spending a life with Normi, and chose that path. Chaim Friedlander has a beautiful hezbah of the whole Megillah and the chesed which we see in the Megillah. He explains that really there's two options a person can have in how to go about their life. They can go about their life looking out for number one. What atzmus, he calls it. What can I get out of life? What's in my best interest? What am I going to gain out of whatever it might be? Or a person can, so to speak, look himself as not the, on the back page, and can now say, what can I do for other people? I think there used to be a famous sign, what can you, don't ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. The Havdil, as I state, that when it comes to Hashkofa, two different ways how people go about life. And I think if one looks around, one can see very simply, straight away, the kind of option that people have gone for. The people generally who are unhappy and complaining, and this person doesn't do this for me, etc., etc., are normally focusing on themselves. And people are running around trying to help other people who have taken the second option. So he says, this is mamish the split which you see between these two sisters. These two sisters, Betzim, came from the same background, the same family, the same household, were married to brothers, and now they took a completely different split, a different option. And what was the end result? If one follows their results to the end, from Murs we all know came David HaMelech. What's not as well known is from Orpah came Goliath. Goliath, the person who went out and was Mekal Hashem. Mamish, these are the end results, so to speak, of this split-second decision that was made by these two sisters. So, we have to understand, what is the chesed of Rus? Rus looked for Naomi, she saw she wanted to help Naomi, and that was the path which she chose. The pasuk says, in Perek Gimel, pasuk Yud, Vayomer brucha at Lashem bitzi heitzavto chasdecha achre min arishin. When Boaz is speaking to Ruth and praising Ruth, he says to her, your chesed is gewaldig, your latter chesed is better than your first chesed. The Targum explains that the first chesed was Basim Kadzoma Tiskaratum, Rasur Dvato Garmichotto to Torah Yovam. The first chesed which Ruth did was that she was Megayah, and stayed with Naomi. The second chesed which she did was Yibum. What's the first chesed? She stayed with Naomi. So as we already explained, she wanted to stick with Naomi. She wanted to now become a fully fledged member of Klal Yisrael, to do a chesed, so to speak, with the Rebbeinu Shlomo by keeping his Torah mitzvahs. Even though this was done 100% lishma, as we mentioned, because there was nothing to, she stood nothing to gain. She knew when she gets back to Eretz Yisrael, she's going to be an outcast, she's going to be a leper, no one's going to be able to marry her. Everyone's going to have claims on her and tainas on her. People had tainas on the whole mishpacha of Eli Melech for how it acted at Klal Yisrael's time of need. So she's mamish coming back into Klal Yisrael. She's joining a nation where she's going to be treated as a pariah. And the alternative was to go back to the royal family and pick up where she left off. And yes, she did it purely l'shem shemaim. And that is a tremendous chesed which she did. What's the chesed of Yibum? What was this chesed of Yibum which she did? Now, this is more in drush than halacha, so we're not going to get bogged down in from a halachic perspective, how was it actually Yibum? I mean, the obvious kasha, the real big kasha, which I've never really heard a proper teretz to, is if we go with the mahalach, that she was only Megaya now, which Pasha says, you see already in the Targum says the chesed which she did was she was Megaya, which means the chesed was after Machlan was Nifta. If she was Megaya now, that means she was a goy when she was married to Machlan. If she's Megaya, the Kotman Shemela Domi. She's like a new person. So she hasn't got she's not related at all. It's as if she was never married to Machlan in the first place. So the whole concept of Yibum is a very, very difficult concept to understand. Then you have Ramban, who's Mazbeh, in any case it wasn't her brother-in-law, it was further afield, and Ramban explains that in those days they kept Yibum to the closest family relative. Okay, that one can explain, but Bichlal, what Yibum's going on here is a kasha. But let's leave that for now, that's not the point of today's shi. What is Yibum? So everyone understands Yibum, you carry on the name of the Nifta, etc. There is a deeper understanding of what Yibum is. When a person has sons, particularly sons, and the Nifta, then those sons, the Chazal say, they have the option of carrying on, so to speak, the legacy of their father. And therefore, that doesn't mean that sons might not have their own mission, but to carry on the zchusim, that means that the father gets the zchusim oinam habo. What happens if a person is nifted without children? So the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, came up with a chesed for the nifter, that he was mati ba'etzem, one of the arroyos, really a person not allowed to marry their sister-in-law, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mati, that the brother, the oldest brother, whoever it might be, the brother of the nifter should marry his sister-in-law, which normally under any other circumstances would be awesome, in order that out of this union should hopefully come a child, and his child should then continue the lineage of the father. But it's more than that. The Zohar says as follows, The mace, the person who is nifta, is so to speak born again. I shouldn't say so to speak. Is born again. The ben hanoilus who ba'asmei ha'ach hamis. The child that is born out of this new union of yibum is the brother who is nifta. Ve'ishtei nasis imoy. And the person who has been his wife is now his mother. Right? In other words, a person's nifta, he leaves behind an almona, she gets married, she has a son, that son was her husband. So in other words, your mama is giving a tremendous chesed, whatever that means. One's giving a tremendous chesed to the nifta, that one's giving him a second chance to continue getting the schusim in Olam Hazeh. And this is the option which Rus took for Machlin, that she went and married, even though Rus was a bigger chesed, because once they passed him that Mayobi Vrei Mayobis, that she was actually mutter to get married to anybody, then she really up here, Allah could be going to marry whoever she wanted. Because there was no case of Yibn Minat Torah here. Right? But then there was the brothers all nifta. Hagan that we find that the plain Amoni did Chalitza.
But she had married Shulia, and maybe she was the guy who she married Shulia, and they agreed at the time that it was okay.
If you say that she was married, then it's a little different. Pashas were not going with that mahalak that she was yid, because otherwise the Targum is saying, the Targum said it's a chesed. If she married machlan, she would have had to be megai in order that she would be able to marry the son of the shofet. If you're going with that approach, then there's no chesed. Okay, one could say that there were alternative reasons for actually being Magai. That's not a chesed. The person wants to marry a Jewish prince, they have to be a Magai, and then they get married. That's not considered a chesed. Pashas, the chesed here, is the way that Mephoshim explained that she did it afterwards. She was Magai afterwards, which is sure. Okay, you've got kashas and machlan and chinyan's behavior. That's a kasha. Akaponim, so what we see is that she did this tremendous chesed, this chesed of Yibum, in order to give her husband an opportunity to come back into this world and be mesaken some of his chatzorim and to do more mitzvahs. The kunz about Rus's chesed is something which is sometimes overlooked. Rus, we're saying now, has got one particular middah, the middah of chesed, and she's got another middah, a middah of tznius. How do you know she has a middah of tznius? Because it says that Boaz, how did Boaz spot Rus in the field? Because she acted in a way which was different from the other way that the girls picked up the food from the floor. She acted in a way which made her stand out for her tznius. Rus came from Moav. If one thinks of the two characteristics which sum up Moav, one is that they're lacking in chesed, that they didn't give Klal Yisrael foods and drink to eat, which is why they're not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. And the second is lacking in tznius. First of all, they sent their daughters to try and cause Klal Yisrael to be over in Abiris. But Moav, the whole nation of Moav, Me'ovi, came about through a Maisa Prisus, came about through Lot and his daughter. So they are, if you think about the two outstanding middos which Moav have, you'll say they're lacking in tznius and they're lacking in chesed. And yet here you have a princess of the nation coming forth, and she's leading the way in chesed and in tznius. The truth is, as far as chesed is concerned, it's not really fair to say that Moav lacked a havon of chesed. Moav came from Lot. Lot, Chazal tell us, was brought up in Avram Avinu's house and picked up the chinuch from Avram Avinu to such an extent that when he was living in Stoim, he was prepared to be moser nefesh and do terrible things in order to protect his orchim. Why? Because that was so deeply ingrained in him, this concept of chesed. Maybe he didn't take it the way Avram Avinu would have liked it to have been taken, but Be'etzem, his mitzvah chesed was very deeply ingrained. And in fact, the whole maaser between his daughters and him came about, although it was misplaced, but it came about because his daughters felt that the world doesn't exist as we know it, and there are only us and our father, and therefore in order to repopulate the world, this is what has to happen. So that itself was an act of chesed, whether it was right or wrong, but it was an act of chesed. So the Mepharshim say, you see already a deep feeling of chesed in the nation of Moav. Unfortunately, over the years, it got corrupted. And therefore, when you come out with Oropol, who was her sister, who was a princess, on the contrary, she was looking out for number one, she went back home. But Ruth picked up these middos of chesed, came through the generations. Boaz. What was the chesed of Boaz? The chesed of Boaz isn't such a chiddush. That's very clear to see. You read the Megillah and you see how he came to Rus and he married Rus, etc. But there's quite a bit more than that. The chesed of Boaz isn't so much in the fact that he was prepared to marry Rus. The chesed of Boaz is how he did his chesed, and there's reasons that he did his chesed. Boaz was the god of Hazor, he was the shofar, he was an old man. But he had all the excuses that he wanted. If he would have wanted to say, I can't, I'm too old, I'm too busy, not now, it's past in Shemit. There were a whole host of options available to him to not do it at all, or to do it, but what was the rush? The Maestri, we find my Boaz, that... Sorry, just going back. Just forgot a beautiful rye here. On the point of what Yibam is, if you look at the pasuk in Perizal, the pasuk Yizayin says, "Vatikuenu le'ashchinis shem lemo yulav ben lenumi vatikuenu shmei oyik hu avi Yishai avi David." So it says in the pasuk, "Yulav ben lenumi," a son has been born to Numi. So some of us would say, why is it? Some wasn't born to Nomi, some was born to Rus. What's right? Some was born to Nomi. So some Mephoshim and Mazar, because Nomi brought up this son, so therefore it's called a son born to Nomi. But Ba'etzem, Yula ben Nomi, if you learn that those Zayas, Pshutik Mashmai. Nomi has a son already, her son was Machan and he was Nifta. Now, because they did a Maisa Yibam, they had another son. This son was ben Nomi, that was Nomi's son, was reborn again. So that's Mamish fits into the pasuk. Coming back to Boaz. Boaz, if you have a look in the pasuk, did something which is not so well publicized. Boaz came to the Shah Ha'ir, and Pliny Almoni wasn't prepared to marry Rus. Pliny Almoni was the closest Yerush, and therefore he inherited the entire estate of Elimelech and Machlon and Chilin. He inherited the whole estate. Comes along the pasuk and says this: "Vayema Boaz is kenim v'cholom, eidim atim hayoim ki kinisi eskol ashel Elimelech veeskol ashel Chilin ulemachlon miyad nomi." I bought everything. I bought the entire estate. What is this? What's going on here? He bought the estate. What did he buy the estate for? What did he want with the estate? If he had the money, why did he have to buy the estate? What's going on here? Pardon? But why? Why has he bought it? What does he want with it? He wasn't. No, he didn't inherit it. If he inherits it, he doesn't have to do a kinyan. If he's the Yerush, it's his automatically. The closest relative was Pliny Almoni. Pliny Almoni was the Yerush. He bought it. Why did he buy it? The Michta Menyohu says a very, very important yisod. He explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts everyone in the world for a tachlis. Everyone's got their mission in this world. It's not always so easy to find out what that mission is, but everyone's put in the world for a tachlis. He says, imagine you have imagine you have a painter who comes to your house, right? So some painters, you know, they come to your house and they come with all their paints and come with everything. And some people, you pay them for the day, they come to your house, they're an odd job man, they'll do whatever you want, but you have to provide all the tools. So imagine now this painter comes to your house. Say, right, I'd like you to paint this room over here, and that room over there, and this colour and that colour. Say, okay, thank you very much. Where are the paints? So say, okay, here are the paints. These are the tools you need, the paintbrush, the paints, and everything else. And now get down to your job. HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts us in this world with a tachlis. We've got a mission we have to lead. He gives us the kelim. He gives us the tools. Without the tools, how can he expect us to do our job? The tools are not just the physical characteristics that we have, the seichel, the manna, whatever it might be, the tools are the physical tools we need. The panasa, the rechush, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person, the financial assets that they have, is given to him in order to lead his life the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to lead it. So he says, imagine a person, Yarshans, the great Zeta's Gemara, right? So they get to learn from their Zeta's Gemara, and they understand that, so to speak, this is like a schus, so their Zeta, they're learning from his Gemara. If a person yarshens their Zeta's bank accounts, for some reason he's looking at it completely differently. That's now, Baruch Hashem, a windfall. I've got an amount of money, now what should I do with the money? But Etzen, there's no difference. A person is given panos in this world in order to carry out the mission which HaKadosh Baruch wants him to lead in order to support his family and move forward with whatever that mission is. Those are his tools, those are his kelim. Mitamanyahu explains the reason, or a reason, why Minatayra Yerusha goes from father to son is because if the son is meant to carry on the mission of the father, he needs the tools. So the tools which the father has, which is whatever assets he has, gets passed down to the son in order that he can carry on the mission. He can continue doing what was going on before. That's, in other words, the idea behind Yerusha, so to speak. So he explains like this. Boaz came along now and was doing the Maisa Yibum. He was going to marry Ruth as a tremendous act of chesed. The point of this act of chesed was in order to give an opportunity for Machlon, as we said before, Yibum is, to come back into this world and to continue gaining his chusim. But if one understands that when a person carries out his mission, he has his kelim as well, Boaz went and did it mamish b'hidru hidurim. He went and he was kona the assets of Machlon and Chilion and Elimelech in order that this child is going to now yarshin these assets and be able to use the actual tools which were there in order to carry on this mission. He's going to yarshin the tools to be able to move on with it. And this was so important to Boaz that he went out and he was kona it in order this would be possible. Boaz, as we said, is given this opportunity to do this act of chesed. What we have to learn from Boaz is how he did it. How he did it. How did he do it? We find that Rus was taught by Nomi, who knew Boaz's nature. This is in end of Perek Gimel. Vatoyme, Shri Biti Adashe Tezin Ech Yipul Hadovo. Don't worry, relax, wait till we hear what's going on. Don't worry, because Boaz is not going to rest. He's not going to be happy until this matter has been resolved today. Imagine nowadays you go with a shaylah to a gadol. So if they can answer on the spot, they'll answer on the spot. If you need them to do something, presumably with everything else going on, it'll take them a bit of time. Imagine if the thing that you need them to do is to get married to yourself. Right? So right, we're going to drop everything, clear the calendar, and tomorrow morning I'm going to sort this out and we're going to get married. But Etzem, Boaz was the shofar to the whole of Klal Yisrael. And yet Naomi was convinced, because she knew who Boaz was, if he has an opportunity for chesed, he will do whatever it takes tomorrow to make sure this matter is resolved. And that's exactly what we find in the pasuk. We find that the next pasuk, beginning of Perek Dalet, it says, "V'Boaz ola ha'shah, v'yeshiv shom v'hinei ha'goyel over." Boaz came to the Shah, that was where the Bezin sat, and the Goyal was passing by. Goyal happened to be passing by at that exact minute. Says the Medrash, "Afilu haya b'seif ha'olam hitisei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ve'evir l'sham k'dei shlo yehei oisei tzadik yoshev u'mitztayev." That it didn't make a difference where this Goyal was at that time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have literally flown him from the other end of the world in order that Boaz shouldn't be mitztayev. Why is Boaz mitztayev? Because he wants to take care of this matter. He's got an urgency that either the Goyal or myself have to take care of this matter today, right now. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulled the Goyal from wherever he might be and brought him now to the Shah in order that this matter can be resolved. The Maisa, there's something which took my research to share, which I never had heard before. And that is a Pasuk later on in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yigimu. The Pasuk says, "Vayikach Boaz es Rus, v'tehi lo le'isho." Boaz, we know that the Pliny did not want to marry her. He did chalitza, which is another kasha, by the way. If the girl already did chalitza, then what's the inyan of yibam anymore? Right? In Torah, it doesn't work like that. Once you've done chalitza, there's no yibam. Okay, a kasha. Let's leave that for now. This is drush. But the ma'aser of
problem.
Fine, but once there's been chalitza. Fine, so that we mentioned before, the Ramban says in those days they did it with the closer family, not just the brothers. But even if they're two brothers, if one does chalitza, the next one doesn't do yibum. Okay, it's awesome. Okay, so it could be that even though chalitza has been done, yibum can still be done. But normally, yibum deraisa is with a person's brother's wife. Once there's no heter anymore of yibum, so then it's awesome because she's an ervo. But here, because it's a wiser family, maybe it's still shy to do the mitzvah of Yibam and still have the end result. Okay. Vatihilei le'isho. What's the meaning of vatihilei le'isho? The Medrash explains, at the time when Ruth got married, she didn't have a womb. She didn't have a womb. She could not have children. Which ends a whole new angle to exactly what's going on here. The whole tremendous chesed that's going on is for the point that Ruth is going to marry Boaz and they're going to have a child and this child is going to be machlon and everything gewaldig. There's one technical problem here. She can't have children. She can't have children. So what's going on Michla in this whole parasha? Explain the mafarshim. Yes, when a person has an opportunity to do chesed, you don't ask questions. There'll always be a million and one reasons why not to do it, why you're not going to be matzliach, and there'll be even genuine reasons. Not having a womb is quite a genuine reason, right? Nevertheless, the person has an opportunity to do chesed, you have to do chesed. What happens next is not your b'sheft. You find that with Basya Baspari, something is unobtainable, it's not your problem. You try your best, and if you're not matzliach, but say that, not have any tainus on you. But more often than not, a kutsch baruch comes along and goes that extra mile for us to enable us to do the chesed which we want to do. And that's how what happens here. Here he married her. Vatikach Boaz Yisrus, Vatihilo Le'isha. She was only Vatihilo Le'isha after he took her. After he married her, then she was able to become a wife who was able to have children, and that's the child that we had. And one further point which one finds from this whole story, which is mamish amazing, is that Boaz had such an urgency to do this matter, and to do this matter today. Nothing was going to get in his way, it had to be done today. What do we find? The pasuk which you read out before, the neighbors named this child, and they said there's been a son born to Nomi. Why the neighbors? Why didn't Boaz give this child a name? Explain in Chazal, Boaz was nifta that night. That night, after he got married to Ruth and made her pregnant, he was nifta then and there. So that means that the whole history of Klal Yisrael, as we know it, with David HaMelech and the Mishpacha of David HaMelech, could have been a completely different picture if Boaz would have acted in a rational manner, so to speak, and not been in such a rush. He's an old man, take it easy, it's not such a rush. Boaz, because of his urgency, took care of it that day. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw what a rush he was in to take care of it that day, he made sure that everything moved. He moved heaven and earth in order to make sure it was possible to be massaged it that day. And Taka the next day was a different parasha. Boaz was no longer there the next day. He no longer had the opportunity to do what he needed to do the next day. A cynic might say, Faket. He was nifta that night because he'd already been Makai and his Taka's in the world because already the next generation. Okay, I don't know. So fine, we've explained very clearly the chesed of Ruth and the chesed of Boaz. And from them, the schar, as we said, Gemli Chasodim, what's the big schar which they have of David HaMelech? What is the schar of David HaMelech? Nowadays, Lahavdol, we live in a world where when a nation wants to pick a leader, and this country is now very much joined suit, when we want to see who is a fitting person to lead a country, it's less to do with their chokhma and their capabilities, and it's more to do with how presentable they are, how articulate they are, and that's what we get swept up in, and that's what we follow behind. How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose a man? Does he look at his speech, his looks? Does he look at how move him? What's the guidelines? What's the main nekudah? The Radak explains the Medrash. The Medrash says, "B'marit soin bodak with David, with soin umotzu roya yofer." When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to see who was such a good money for Klal Yisrael, he looked at David's capabilities as a shepherd. When he saw how David was as a shepherd, then he said, "Oh, he's a shepherd. He's perfect for us." The Radak explains that when it comes to being a shepherd, there are two ways one can do it. One can open the gates, let out all the sheep, let them eat what they want, and everything will be fine. David HaMelech didn't do it like that. He first let out the young sheep, who didn't have so much care, so that they could eat all the easy, soft, supple grass. Then he let out the sheep that were slightly older, and they could eat the next lot of grass. And the strong sheep, who normally would have gone out and eaten all the good grass, they ate the tougher grass, because they were able to eat the tougher grass. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, David HaMelech is a shepherd. What do you see about a shepherd? First of all, you're doing chesed with sheep. There's no hakaras hatov, there's no feeling of indebtedness. They don't even know you're doing a chesed with them. And most importantly, sometimes a person has an opportunity through a big act of chesed, okay, he feels geschmack about it. But to do chesed on a daily basis, day in, day out, whether it's raining, whether it's sunny, is something which is very difficult to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, David HaMelech is someone who does chesed on a daily basis when no one's looking, when no one knows about it, and the people, the animals he's doing it for, they don't even appreciate it. Someone like that is the perfect example of what it takes to be a manik in Klal Yisrael. Because the point of a melech of Klal Yisrael is to bring Klal Yisrael to be over the HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. And that means you're going to have to help them in ruchnius dikur matters, you're going to have to help them in gashmius dikur matters, you're going to have to take care of all their needs. So therefore it comes out very poshut. If Boaz and Ruth had this tremendous middah of chesed, so it wasn't so much a schar that they got David HaMelech, it was a natural progression. Who is going to be the child, the grandchild of such a union? It's going to be someone with an impeccable middah of chesed. David HaMelech, look how he treats the sheep. Memele, he is the best person. It's key to say mitzvah gereis mitzvah. He is the most suitable person to tzaka b'mani klal yisrael because he has the number one middah that's required, and that is the middah of chesed. Level to finish off, when we're coming now to Kabbalah Satoria, and you've had many shurim about Kabbalah Satoria and about the different things that require to Kabbalah Satoria, it's kedai to remember this message of the Megillah. That it's not just about Torah, but to be Kabbalah Satoria, to be Mekabel Torah properly, a person has to work on their chesed. Because through their chesed, whether it's helping other people in Ruchnius, whether it's helping other people in Gashmius, that brings us to a better Kabbalah Satoria. Shkur, John.